Oh, amen, amen. 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 Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I know it's good to start out your week in church and let God move upon our hearts and lives. We have a birthday coming up this Wednesday. Mama, yeah, you want to stand? It's Mama's birthday Wednesday. She's going to be 26. No. You want me to tell them? Yeah. You want me to tell them your age? She doesn't mind. She'll be 80 years old. So she told me to tell you if anybody wants to cook for her or any clean her house or anything, she's willing to take. No, she didn't say that. Yeah. Give it to me here. But happy birthday. I know that's coming up. And happy birthday. 80 years old. Made it to the big 8-0. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. But we do want to welcome everyone here this morning. Just a matter of note to you. Our tithe and offerings to the church last week was $1,184.36. So thank you for your faithfulness to the church and giving of your tithe and offerings to the church. I know every week it's in the bulletin what we pick up, and we certainly do appreciate all that you have given, and we thank you for trusting us with it, and we certainly do appreciate it. Thus far, I know the three Sundays so far this month would total about $4,200 or $4,300, Miss Gail, something like that total, in your tithe and offerings here, and we appreciate you giving that and stuff. Just a matter of note with the building, which is, you know, we all know, cat a corner there. Can't wait to get in it, you know. We got the carpet in, and the carpet's been put into the building, but not laid down, okay? They went pick it up yesterday, Joe and Andrew and Otis, and so they got it there. So the carpet's there. So the painting basically is all done. They put both coats on and, you know, just, yeah. So this week the guys should be going to start laying down the carpet, you know, on stage and all that stuff and the sound booth and all that. And so it's just progress going on. So if anybody has a place where we can put a lot of chairs, let me know. So I'm still asking because I need to order some chairs. And I can't order till, how's the dog, okay?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Lord, touch that dog. There was a dog that was hit, and they picked, you know, the heart of a woman, picked up the dog, you know. Lord, heal that dog. God can do it. And my God, touch that dog in Jesus' name. He cared about the blind beggar. He cares about each of us. He cares about our dogs, you know. He cares about everything, you know. You're just a loving God, a loving God. But the carpet should be starting to be laid down this week. I know Joe and them are putting up the big TV thing for the words and everything after church sometime. Is that right, Joe? So they're going to be putting that up. And then Lafayette Music is coming Saturday to finish out all the speakers and everything that we're putting in there. So continue to pray that, and everything is just going well, guys. It's just smooth. You know, you just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know, for what he's doing and going to do beyond what we ever could imagine. Beyond what we ever could imagine. Amen. Well, the base of it is kind of like a tannish color, but in it has a lot of maroon specks and all kind of different colors. Okay. Is that? It sounds pretty. Okay. It sounds pretty. But that's the color, basically. And then we're going to go with maroon chairs to sit in and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be nice. It's going to really be nice. We thank God for it and what he's doing. You know, he cares about every church, no matter what size. No matter how big, how small, medium, it doesn't matter. If they're serving Him and looking to Him, He cares about it. You know, that's like as parents, we care about all of our children, you know, every one of them, and we want the best for them and stuff. So, but amen, is that all the announcements? Oh, yeah. I wanted to announce starting this Wednesday in your bulletin, you can see Jimmy Swaggart Ministries is having their Easter camp meeting. Easter camp meeting. You can see it on TV. You know, it's on Dish, it's on Glory Star, DirecTV, whatever. It's on all of those. You can go on the internet and watch it. Or you can go to the church, which is in Baton Rouge. So that starts Wednesday till Sunday. Don't go Sunday morning. Easter. But we're not having prayer Wednesday in case, you know, anybody wants to go or whatever. So if you're able to, try to watch or go, whatever, and be encouraged. You might say, well, when do they have church? Go on their internet. You know, they have, I think Anna has it in there. And you can see all the times. They have church like in the morning, 8 or 9, one at 10, one at 2, and then one at 7 that night. Different speakers throughout that time. So I would encourage you to go. You might say, well, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because our church is under their church, basically. We are a church affiliation. We support them. Your tithe and offerings, a certain portion of it, 10% of that, goes to their Sunlight Broadcasting, which helps the gospel to be preached in many, many, many countries that I read to you a few weeks ago. And so every time a soul is won, every time somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost, every time somebody is delivered from depression, every time somebody is encouraged by the word that goes forth in all countries in North America, South America, all over the world, we have a part of that. And it's accounted unto us as a church. So honestly, we're reaching the world through avenues like that. But if you can, try to go or try to watch, whatever, you know, just encourage yourself in the Lord and to see what God is doing. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody knows what next Sunday is. Easter. A day where you can eat candy for breakfast. If your parents say so, I have to correct that. You know, yesterday after we ate supper, Jelaine went and she bought Gold Brick, you know the Gold Brick? And when she took it out, I opened it. It smelled like Easter. You know, I mean, it was like, man, this is Easter. Now, a lot of these kids, they don't like that kind of candy. But man, that's what we grew up on, you know, the Gold Brick and all that stuff. And man, when you open it, it smells. It's for us. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. But next Sunday is Easter. We are having church here at 10 o'clock, the same time, you know. It will be about the same amount of time. But I encourage you as a family, if you could, go to church. Try to be together as we celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday together. You know, it's an amazing thing, and we'll probably talk about that next week, but it's an amazing thing. The whole world recognizes. They may mention it, may not believe it, but at least the whole world recognizes that our Savior rose again. He rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and me. My God, what a job. What a job. And you know, everything the Lord Jesus prays for you comes about. It comes about because He knows what we need. But today, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Today, marks, it's always a week or so before Easter, where they call it Palm Sunday. And we're going to read, you know, the reason why they call it Palm Sunday. And you know, what was the reason for it and what God did on that day. In Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 21, Chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 1. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway, and you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught or anything against unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye your daughter of Zion, Behold, your king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass or donkey, and a colt and a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and died as Jesus commanded them, and brought them the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. Verse 8, And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees, and scattered them in the way. And the multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of the Nazareth of Galilee. Just 1 week before, guys, 1 week before, Jesus was to be crucified, put to death. You know, he laid down his life for us. 1 week before that, here he was, he told two of his disciples, go and get the donkey, go and that had never been ridden, or the colt that had never been ridden at all, bring it to me. And it says that Jesus sat upon it, which fulfilled a prophecy. And we're going to read that prophecy, which fulfilled what would happen. And it says, as Jesus sat on it, the people, and as the colt would walk, it says that the people would throw straw or palm branches, that's what they had, or their garments, so that they were acknowledging that he was the Savior of the world. He was the King. Now you might say, was everybody doing that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But the people that surrounded him and knew him and saw him knew in their hearts that this was the King. This was the Savior. And they were throwing these things as the animal would come forth with Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, your God, riding upon it. Now you take an animal like that that has never been ridden before. For us, we would have been on the ground. Hoping they had garments on the ground to kind of help us. But I tell you what, when the King of Kings steps into your situation, he changes every situation. When the King of Kings sat on that colt, sat on it, he knew the Master was in the house. And buddy, let me tell you, when Jesus walks into your situation, no matter what it is, when he says something, when he acts upon his word, when he says something, things change. Because his word has life. His mouth has life. When he speaks blessings, when he speaks temptation to go, when he speaks healing to your body, it will happen. That's who he is. And that animal just did what the Master said. And they declared him Lord. And when they got to the city, it says that the religious people said, Who is this? They heard the commotion going on. And they said, That's the Jews' king. Oh, 1 week later or so, he was put to death. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 9. The grace of God. The grace of God. Page 1616. That's not a common book people read. We try to stay with what we know, and we don't want to go out of that too much. But that's okay. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah prophesied this. That's how we know our Bible's the true Word of God. Because everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament came about in the New Testament. Everything. Don't ever let anybody say, well, this didn't, it all happened. You read it. We can find it. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt for the foal of an ass." That was done. What was said in Zechariah happened in the New Testament. Our king came. It says the Jewish king, or the king of the Jews. But we also know he was our king. And you know what? He got upon that donkey. Can you imagine Jesus knowing the future? Jesus knowing what's going to happen? Jesus knowing that he's going to have to lay down his life. They didn't just come snatch him and take him and killed him. He laid down his life. Jesus didn't commit murder. Jesus didn't, you know, somebody didn't kill him. Jesus didn't commit suicide or anything like that. But Jesus laid down his life. But the grace of God, as he sat upon that colt, as he sat upon it, was thinking, I know in a week from now what's going to happen. The people didn't know. The people didn't know. The people that were right with him, by him, didn't know what was going to happen. Now, we know the religious people, the other people were trying to coerce something into getting him and trying to get rid of him. We know that was happening. But the people that were throwing down their coats, when they threw down their coat, they were throwing down themselves, part of themselves, saying, "Father, I submit to you. Father, I give my life to you. Father, I give every part of my being unto you." And the animal rode upon that, and palm branches and straw and everything they could find to show honor and respect. But the grace of God, as he sat upon it, his grace was being given unto us. Now, grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. That's interesting. Grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. When Jesus was on that colt, he was given unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Something, you might say, well, can we earn salvation? No. There's nothing we can do to earn anything. Nothing. It is kindness from God we don't deserve. His grace towards us is kindness towards us. As Jesus was riding that animal, it was his grace towards us, people. I wonder, as the people would see him, what they thought. I wonder, as they would see him sitting upon it. Because it wasn't a planned parade, if you want to put it that way. It wasn't planned. You know, there was no bands, there was no... It was just, he said, "Disciples, go and get the animal. Bring it to me." He got on it, and it started to go. And the people, out of their hearts, just started throwing part of themselves onto the road as a king was coming forth. And we know one day our King is coming back. And He's not riding an old donkey or anything like that. But He's coming. But the grace of God towards us. You know, we sang that song this morning, Amazing Grace. An old song. And I just want to read the words to you, because sometimes we can hurry up and sing them and we don't really understand it. But it says, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The world shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun refuse to shine, but God who called me here below shall be forever mine. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. What an amazing song, guys. His grace. Grace is divine assistance given to humans for their rebirth and also for their sanctification. John chapter 1, I want you to turn there, please. His grace is sufficient. His grace towards us. His grace towards us. John chapter 1. Look at verse 16. It says, And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ embodied grace. We know grace is what? Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Unmerited favor. We have favor with God. We didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can say to get it. We can't buy it. Nothing. But the grace of God is upon our lives, not because of the law that God gave Moses, but because of Jesus coming and dying upon the cross. That grace has been given unto us. That we can now boldly go through the throne room and give our petitions unto Him, and He in turn comes and answers them and helps us through our lives. It says this. In verse 16 it says, the second part it says, and grace for grace. But I like how it says it should have been translated, grace upon grace. That means His grace is never ending towards us. We always have favor towards Him. It's never ending. You might say, well, Pastor, do I stop God's grace when I sin? Let me tell you something. And I'll put it to you this way, quote, God expects us to sin. Because He knows the sin nature that is in us. That has come when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. It's in every human being. That's why Jesus could not be born or formed from human reproduction. because of the sin nature there. So to alleviate that, he just used Mary as an incubator so that he could come forth as a child and know what it is to be tempted. Knows that because the devil tried to destroy him, tried to bring him down so that he wouldn't be the perfect sacrifice. But you see, as God expects us, that doesn't mean he gives us a license to sin. No. The grace of God is there to forgive us of all of those things that we have done wrong. We turn to him, his favor, he forgives us. Forgives us, remembers it no more. Yet I know at times, you know, there are things that happen in our bodies. There are things that happen in our minds. We go through life and things happen. But God, what he wants us to do, he wants us to turn to him, to look to him, to ask forgiveness. So the blood of Jesus could come and cleanse us from all those things. If he knew we could make it, he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus for us. Man cannot make it on its own. Look what we've done with the world thus far. Oh, we're on a good track. Look at what we've done with our own lives without Jesus. And if it wasn't for Jesus and his mercy, my God, where would we be? But because of his grace and his mercy towards us, his grace, unmerited favor, something we have not earned. It's like somebody just comes and gives you $1 million. Here. You've done nothing for it. I mean, absolutely zero. You didn't even know the person. You don't know who they... But, well, we like that, huh? Everybody's going to check their mailbox tomorrow, huh? I want the check. I want the check. Make sure it's good, though. But that's what he's given us. And $1 million is still not enough compared to the eternity with our Lord and Savior, the grace of God that is upon us. I want to tell you a story of a man called John Newton. I know most of us, you know, I didn't know who he was till I heard the name and looked it up and stuff. But John Newton, he was born in England, July 24th, 1725. His mother taught him the Bible. I mean, she taught him the Bible, scriptures. She had him memorize scriptures, do all kinds of stuff. But when he was 7 years of age, his mother died all of a sudden. And so he was left to his father. His father soon remarried. And the mother basically, if you want to put it this way, did not like him, John Newton. Didn't like him. So at the age of about 8 till about 10 or 11 or so, it says that they sent him to a boarding school to get him away. And he went to a boarding school for all that time. Then all of a sudden, at 11 years of age, can you imagine, his father was a ship captain, worked on the ships, took his boy at 11 years of age and had him work on the ships, on the ship there with him. Now, his father was a very crude man. Crude. Did all kind of evil. Evil. The boats that they ran were slave boats. Now, just that tells you it wasn't good, huh? What they would do is they would go to Africa mostly and bring slaves to other countries. And the conditions of the boats or the ships was not good. I mean, they locked them in chains, hands and feet. The place was not clean. And John Newton helped his father. John Newton grew up with his father after his mother died. It seems like all the Bible stories, all the memory verses that he quoted just started to leave. and he forsook God. Did everything under the sun. He helped bring slaves. He mocked God. He would make fun at religious people. He was a drunk. I mean, he did all evil that you could imagine. He did for years and years and years into that system. One day, they were on one of the ships, and all of a sudden, there was a big thunderstorm that rose up. You know, and back then, you know, that's in the 1700s, you know, they didn't know weather-wise, you know, exactly like we have today. You know, all the meteorologists and all the stuff that we know. We know when something's coming days ahead, usually, you know. But they didn't know, and all of a sudden, there was a jolt on the ship. And rain started coming down in buckets. I mean, it poured and poured and poured. All of a sudden, it seems like the waves were hitting this ship so hard from both sides of the ship that the ship started to break some of it. You're out in the middle of nowhere, basically. Water started to pour in to the boat. And they got out on the deck and they were trying to get the water out with buckets and all kinds of things. They lost some people out at sea. They lost their livestock. They lost their food. In the midst of days of thunderstorm, days of horrible things happening, all of a sudden it says that John Newton started to go back into a certain area, and all of a sudden, he just hollered out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And it says that he went back to doing what he was doing to try to save the people, the boat, just. And in his writings, it says that once he said that, that he felt something next to him that never left him. It was God, well, the Holy Spirit, but the grace of God. And it says that for 11 days, you know, we often think, man, when we call upon God, he changes the situation and we go forth. For 11 more days, they stayed out sea with rain and thunderstorms and waves hitting the boat. They didn't know they would live. But it says that John Newton said, "I know my God is here." Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your churches. Don't ever give up on our country. God can change every situation around. God can do it as we trust in Him, the grace of God. He looks at us. This young man, if it wasn't for his mother that instilled in him Bible stories and memorizing of the scriptures, that was brought back up when we thought it had all gone. When he drank so much, he ridiculed the church so much, he did evil of all sorts, God still was in there. And God came and helped him. And it says that they were rescued, and he became a preacher and preached the word of God. It says that everywhere he preached, especially in his home church, that there were so many people, they had to keep enlarging the building. He wrote many hymns. You know what else he wrote? The Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. John Newton, that did all kind of evil, knew what it was to have the grace of God. So you know what that tells me? There's nothing anybody can do in here that I know of that is as bad as what he has done. And God still have mercy and grace upon him. My God. My God. my God, your God. His grace is sufficient. His love is sufficient. His peace is sufficient for us. There's nothing we can do to make him desert us. You might say, well, what if I tell him I don't want him? He's still going to be there. He's still going to gnaw at your heart. He's still going to work on you because people are praying. Because we've all said, Lord, leave me alone. I know y'all laughing. It's true, huh? Lord, leave me alone. It's like we have enough. But you see, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God and His grace and His mercy that loves us so much. Loves us and cares about us that He continues to work in our hearts and lives. You know, His mother never got to see Him preach. But if it wasn't for what He went through, we wouldn't have that song, Amazing Grace. Can you imagine? He knows the grace of God, us too. That He could pen the words of Amazing Grace. I wonder, as He was writing it under the unction of the Holy Ghost, if tears are rolling down His face. If they laugh. Amen. That's better than crying, huh? Amen. But I wonder if He was crying. Just tears. How many times has the Spirit of God touched our hearts and our lives? At times we didn't even realize. I mean, you know, we just, my God, the mercy of God. His mercy, His grace upon us, guys. I know sometimes we think, Lord, I've gone too far. There's no way you can help me. Until you have made people slaves, until you become a drunk, until you have done all kinds of evil, making fun of the church, poking fun of the church. He even would coerce people into sinning. I mean, my God, look what God can do. Take a man like that and make him into a preacher. Take a man like that and make him into an evangelist. Take a man like that and make him proclaim the one he made fun of to preach about that man. That's the kind of God we serve. That can change a man's heart and can change our lives. Nothing's too difficult for our God. Nothing's too difficult that when God walks into your situation, He can change it. If we allow Him to do it, the power and the Spirit of God can change that situation around and make it alive. Look what God can do in this man. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for His mighty grace. Where would we be without the grace of God? Surely not in church. Surely not believing Him. My God. My God. When I think about the blessings of God, how great He is to us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? As we close, I want Andrew to put that song back on, Amazing Grace.